Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Pets at Vets today, and joining us in the studio, Dr. Susan Sekuli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga. Got a question about your doggy or your kitty or maybe some other pet, but let's not go crazy here. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Email us if you must or if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org if you want to go that route. But the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, your pet questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Pets and Vets today, here to take your calls. Dr. Susan Sekuli of the Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland and Saratoga, and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. Often called the Cat Whisperer, Dr. Sekuli is a veterinarian who has been specializing in feline care for more than 24 years. She focuses on the entire cat's health, from kitten to senior cats, addressing behavior and nutrition, while providing medical and surgical care. Dr. Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. She earned a doctorate in veterinary medicine from Ohio State University and specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition counseling. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Sekuli, Dr. Dallas, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Doing well over here.
You're all right? No coronavirus in either of you? You're okay?
We're clear to come into the studio.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad. I probably should have asked before you came. But
right.
But people are calling you, right?
Yes. Yes.
And they're saying...
And they're worried, right?
Yeah.
First, whether the cats can get...
Which
the coronavirus.
They can't, right?
They can get a different type of coronavirus, and they do. But yes, they are not, I don't know if resistance is the right word, but they are not affected by this COVID-19.
You think they could carry it and not have any symptoms?
That is the question that we don't know about. And if you go on to the CDC website, of which is, as you know, is a good resource.
Oh, yeah.
They're worried that the cats could be what they call the fomites, or the virus could live in the hair or around the face.
Oh, terrific.
Yes. So...
What do you do?
So our concern, and it's something we have poised for our other practitioners, feline practitioners, or even dog and cat ones, is if a COVID-positive person needs to isolate themselves and can't care for their pet, would we then be able to board their pet for that? And it's become a little bit of a controversy. I think, you know, for us, we are still willing to do that because we would take the precautions that we normally do in a medical situation and in health. We wash our hands all the time.
Right.
You know, we do follow all of those rules that I think everyone needs to follow from this point.
But, you know, couldn't you just leave a bag of cat food on the lawn for this person? I mean, it seems to me, if in fact, and we don't know this is true, but if a cat is a vector or carrier or whatever you call it, and then the person also has the virus, why would you take the animal in at Just Cats?
So these would be ones that they may need hospitalization.
Ah, gotcha.
And they're not able to care for the cat at home. You're right. Or perhaps with a dog, and I think they're going to have it more on that, is they can't go out, right? They're supposed to be...
Yeah.
Confined.
And it does bring up an interesting point, I suppose, if you have multiple members in your family or in your household and you do have somebody who needs to be kind of quarantined in the house, maybe to not let the animals inside to comfort them and cuddle with them. I thought of this when my daughter had the flu just a few weeks ago, and we were so careful to keep her away from our little one. And then I'm watching the cats, you know, just sort of smear his face along hers and then come in and kiss my other. I was like, okay, well, there we go. We just transmitted.
The number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551.
And yet, when you're... Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, yet when you're sick, you want the comfort of the animal to help you.
Yeah, yeah, that's why we let him in there. And then when I watched the transmission happening, okay, maybe we'll rethink that next time.
Well, you know, the medical professionals I talk to on Medical Monday and just ones I know and meet, none of the medical pros, the nurses or the doctors, they're not all that concerned at this point. I mean, I talked to a nurse. She's been a nurse 30 years. I said, how are you doing with this? She said, I've seen it all before.
I don't think we've seen this one before. I think it's just going to be a question of whether we can stop a rapid spread and a big spike. That's really what it's about. So it's really, at this point, it's in the hands of public health.
At this point, what's worse, the infection or the craziness out there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good thing.
I mean, I don't want people to get overly freaked out. Or freaked out either way, on either end of it. I think right now, just like sensible caution and watching.
All right, enough talk about illnesses and people. Let's talk about pets. 800-348-2551. Chris Dallas is here. Susan Ciculli, Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Kathleen and Gosha. Kathleen, you're up.
Yes. Hi. I have a question about my dog. I have a Belgian Malinois mix breed, and she all of a sudden started becoming allergic and just scratching at her skin. So I took her to the vet. They checked her over. No infection or anything like that. He suspects a food allergy. Mm-hmm. So I had her on probiotics. I had her on a bunch of different things that they recommended, but she's still scratching.
How old is she?
So any advice?
Sure, yeah. How old
is she? She's two and a half.
Okay. And where is she scratching specifically?
She's scratching like on her side and towards her tail. Like she'll scratch at the edge of her tail, but she also scratches like... I guess her thigh area.
Okay. And did that just start
to reach it and she'll chew on it.
What did that just start over the winter or was it last summer too or in the fall?
No, it was before that. It was probably the end of the summer.
Okay. And we definitely have double checked for fleas because those are kind of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Because that's kind of those are the flea regions of itchiness. So if it is...
Yeah. That's what we suspected at first, but it wasn't the vet told us. Yeah.
Okay. If it is food, then the best way to go about it, I like to do a elimination diet where you just home cook, you know, one protein and one carbohydrate for a few months and just sort of see if it just, it's just a test really to see if it gets better. You know, there are some commercially available hydrolyzed protein diets that I sort of use as a last resort if we can't seem to get to the bottom of anything. And, you know, you could consult with somebody in your area who does, like, let's say herbal medicine. That still sometimes is more of a Band-Aid still, though, because you're really still not getting to the bottom of it if it is truly a food allergy. You know, there are symptomatic treatments in Western medicine, like Cytopoint is an injection, but it's really only good for about 8 weeks. But it does sort of reduce the sensation of itch. That would be hard to use. And then also follow responses to a food elimination diet. So if it is food, I would probably start playing around with different proteins. And has your dog ever eaten turkey before? Because if not, that's sometimes a good place to start.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, we've had some dog foods that have had turkey in it. And the other thing is I have another dog, too, who doesn't have allergies. So
yeah. This can be a long and drawn-out process for sure.
Can I just go back to the fleas portion just for a second?
Yeah.
When you say that you've eliminated fleas as a concern, is that because you're looking for the fleas or are they on a specific flea product?
They are on a flea product, and the vet had checked them, you know, when they went, when she first had the itchiness.
Okay.
He said, you know, she doesn't have any parasites or anything like that. And she is on, like, a flea thing every month.
Okay, that's good, yeah. Because sometimes when they have a flea allergy, it just takes one bite to set them off, so.
Well, Kathleen, thanks a lot. By the way, before we go to our, we'll take a break in a minute or two here. What is a hydrolyzed protein diet, and why is it a last resort?
Yeah, well, for me, it's a last resort just because I don't love highly processed foods. For most veterinarians, it's the first step that they take, actually. I prefer...
In a food allergy situation?
In a food allergy situation. Also, for sometimes gastrointestinal disorders.
What is it?
The protein is just extracted and changed in a way that makes it less allergenic. It's hydrolyzed.
They make it smaller, so yeah. Supposedly if they have an allergy, they're not really allergic to it anymore. It sort of gets hidden and the immune system doesn't recognize it.
But this is kibble or wet food? What are we talking about?
It's both. Yeah. They sell it as both. Yeah. Do you use it much in your practice?
ZD is one of the ones that they'll use. Hill's makes a ZD.
Do you use it much in your
practice? I do a little, but I'm a believer also in the purist portion, and so I tend to stay with the novel proteins instead.
But I mean, to me, you know, and I know we've talked about this before, it's a long process with an allergy. You try the dog or cat on one food and then you move to the next. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the cat is still suffering, itchy, and just not having a good time. It might take a year, right?
Oh, it can take more than a year. Yeah. And so, you know, that's when we sometimes get into symptomatic treatment. That's when I find my herbs helpful sometimes because I can at least make them comfortable enough to be okay, but we can still sort of monitor changes with food.
And how do you do that? If you tackle, this is the catch-22 as I see it, if you tackle the symptoms, how can you find out what's the allergy?
And that's where the Western medication, it's an injection called Cytopoint, can often do that. It can completely eliminate the itching, and then you can't monitor it. So it is, and I find with herbs, we just sort of dampen the itch, and so we can kind of monitor it a little bit. And sometimes the herbs don't touch it. It just depends on what's going on.
Chris Dallas is here, and Susan Sekulli. It's Pets and Vets Today. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number, and we'll be right back. Vox Pop, Pets and Vets, Ray Graff with you. Number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Sekulli are with us today. Two emails and then back to the phones. This one is from Nick in Albany. Subject heading, cat won't stop licking. I adopted an adult cat. She just wants to lick everything. If you pet her, she immediately tries to lick your fingers. When I hold her, she'll try to lick your face, hair, or even legs as she walks by my feet. It's constant. I appreciate the affection, but it's getting annoying. Nick in Albany.
You need another cat.
Yeah.
That'll be the cleanest cat on the planet.
Yes.
Anything you can do about
that? A girlfriend.
I don't know.
No?
I guess I'd put lotion on that they don't like the...
Over your entire body?
Well, parts of it. The parts that they're going for initially.
They could at least learn.
Because he's trying to mark you to be, your buddy. Yeah. And so
you don't own the cat. The cat owns you.
That's right.
All right. This is from Natalie in Burnt Hills. Sedating a cat for transport. The kids are in medical school in Brooklyn. They have a fabulous rescue cat who doesn't have a vet. The question, if school is closed and they need to come home, which is probably a real possibility, what is the best way to sedate the cat with an over-the-counter product to last the four-hour drive?
Over-the-counter.
Over-the-counter. Hmm. Not many.
I mean,
you know, sometimes Benadryl.
Benadryl, yeah.
Yeah, or Dramamine-ish, but... They're not consistent for cats, but they could try it.
Okay.
Usually use 12.5 milligrams per cat.
But the cat's not, won't swallow a pill, right?
Well, you can get the liquid, Benadryl, the baby. You squirt it down that way.
Very interesting.
But if they have a vet, gabapentin, everybody loves it. Yeah, so ask their vet for
what is that,
gabapentin.
Like Kitty Downer?
Yeah,
it's actually an anti-seizure med.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's used for pain, neurogenic pain, but they have found it to be a wonder. And it does have mild sedative effects on dogs, but in cats, it just seems to make them not care, right?
Right?
Is my understanding.
Yes. And it decreases the amount of other drugs we have to use, even pre-anesthetic-wise. We're using it consistently.
What is different about the physiology of a cat and a dog that it'll work wonders with a cat, but only so-so on a dog? Do we know?
Well, is it the P450 enzyme? I don't know. I don't know which it is,
but it's why the cats are not small dogs.
Yeah.
Said that before.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Susan Sekulli, Dr. Chris Dallas on this Pets and Vets edition. We go to Janine in Rhinebeck. Janine, you're on.
Hi there, doctor. Thanks for taking the call. We adopted a cat from a local shelter. It was dumped at the shelter in a carrier on February 27th, and 9 days later, we adopted it, which was this past Friday. It's a two-year-old male cat, and in the 9 days that he was on, he was neutered on the third. He was given his first distemper. He was given rabies. He was given Strongid and Revolution all at the shelter. When we brought him home this past Friday, we gave him the food they said to keep him on for a while, which was Purina cat chow, and he vomited it a bit after we brought him home. We weren't particularly concerned because he's young and he's adapting to a new environment and isolated from in the basement with us and my husband and, you know, whatever. So he's active, not lethargic. We brought him to the vet on Sunday because of the vomiting. He was put on an anti-emetic, and we just thought we'd watch him for a day or two. I brought him back on Monday because I just didn't like the way he looked. And the anti-emetic worked for a day or two. They retested him for worms, did not find any worms. They looked at Giardia, blah, 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 you know, tapeworms, round worms. Temperature's normal. Right now he is at the vet, and they are going to sedate him for an x-ray because they had a hard time. He's very, you know, he's wiggly. So they're going to do, while he's sedated, they're going to do an x-ray and an ultrasound. His blood work so far showed normal kidney and liver functions. They send it out for the pancreatic, white blood cell, red blood cell. But basically it's a perplexing situation because he really has very little that he's held down and is very active, not seeming sick, but, you know, I can't believe he doesn't look worse than he is, except he's got youth on his side.
Yeah.
And so the only other question mark, which it is that the shelter put a jute toy in with him, like a string mouse. So, you know, they said we can't necessarily see if it looks intact. I looked, you know, examined it, but so that's a question mark, and we'll wait to see what comes back with the blood work. But we're kind of at a kind of a we want to know what might be wrong, and
right.
If we wind up with a deadlock, you know, without knowing anything, we sort of don't know where to proceed.
All right, doctors.
Sounds like they did a great workup for a cat that you don't know much of a history on, so they are doing awesome.
No problem. Yeah, well, Dr. Redier at Rhinebeck Animal Hospital,
yeah,
phenomenal.
Nope, he's great. So, and I can tell you from our experience, it's a not uncommon thing that happens with cats. They present with very common signs, the vomiting or the diarrhea, and it can be a myriad of different things, from the parasites that you're describing to a pancreatitis, which is a really tough one, or
right.
intestinal bowel disease, IBD. So, you know, you're doing the right things by doing both supportive care and diagnostics, and hopefully they will get a resolution and a diagnosis.
Dr. Dallas.
Right.
I was just thinking about whether or not to offer him something bland
yeah.
that's away from, because sometimes,
food.
You know, I was just thinking baby food. Yeah, like just some chicken baby food, get away from the highly processed Purina.
Yep.
And
agreed.
Again, it's like having chicken soup instead of
right.
a steak or something.
Yeah.
Doesn't it strike you as odd, though, that maybe this was happening while the cat was in the shelter?
Totally. Could have happened before he was in the shelter.
Before.
Yeah.
Isn't there some kind of disclosure rule that they would say, hey, this cat's got something going on? But if it didn't, if the cat didn't do that and now is at a house and is vomiting, what can you infer? It's something in the house, right?
Or stress.
Or stress.
It's just
right.
the stress of the change.
Yes.
And he went through all those medical procedures and vaccines. I mean, that's a lot of inflammation, and stress is inflammatory. So that's why
agreed.
I'm all about a really mild, like bland food, and just, you know, give him more time.
We use baby food a lot, it's just good. The chicken or turkey.
Yeah, and it's good to rule these things out. I mean, it's good that they're doing the workup, but if they come up with nothing,
right.
to me,
exactly.
bland food and give him some time.
Good luck with him. I hope it all works out.
Thank you for the call, Janine. Over to Corin in Springfield. Corin.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
I hope you're all well.
So far.
I have a three-year-old. Oh, good. Three-year-old cat that I rescued off the streets of Holyoke, and I believe she was feral. She was about 7 or 8 weeks old. I believe she has something called redirected aggression, where in the past 3 years, if she's on the windowsill and a cat is outside and I get close to her, she's very agitated and will take out her aggression on me. And it would leave and it would resolve pretty quickly. Just about a month ago, I was stacking wood, and there was an odd scent. I thought it was the wood rotting. But when I got home, my cat was sniffing my shirt intensely. And since then, I'm a bear in her eyes. She is very aggressive and trying to hurt me and screaming under the bed whenever I walk by it.
Wow.
It's very scary and sad because I feel like my cat is gone. Have you ever heard of redirected aggression?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, sure.
And it is very scary because they don't they're beyond reasoning at that point, and as you describe, really dangerous. We typically see it, two cats are in the house and they see the third cat outside and they can't get to that cat outside, so they take it on the out on the cat that they can see. That's scary when she's turning on you. I'm wondering if drugs might be necessary, to be honest.
Yes, I had a case like this when I was just into general practice, and we did end up putting the cats on meds, and for some reason that cat was not helped. I was working in the Bay Area. The owner went to an animal communicator who told her to get another cat, and she asked me what I thought, and I thought that was potentially risky. She did it, and the cat never did it again. So, I don't know. Sometimes you don't always know what's setting them off and what's going to be the answer, but I feel like the safest place to go might be medications.
Initially, at least.
At least you get some feel away in the house.
Yeah, I was just going to say, then there's definitely some pheromone-y kind of odors that you're going to have to eliminate from your house that's triggering her.
I mean, should Corin put feel away on her pant legs or something like that?
Yeah,
shoes?
Maybe.
Absolutely. Those are great.
Some rescue remedy in the water.
Would you say scent away?
Feel away?
Oh, feel away. Yes, feel away. I've used that before on the way to the vet. I'd thought about that. Just one quick question. Now, that the fact that she might have been feral and a little wild, and she's an indoor cat, just me and her, she doesn't get a lot of socialization. Am I her mother, and now she's rejecting me?
Oh.
I mean, I don't know.
An adolescent,
I don't think so. I don't think so, because so many cats are, bond with one, human, and they don't go through that. Maybe this is just a stress response from her more feral days.
Don't take it personally. Yeah. It's not you.
Will it
it's
go away?
The scent. Yeah.
I mean, is this permanent, though? This is the question.
Take some intense working with.
Are you optimistic?
Not,
let's put it that way.
Eventually, yes, but it will take some time, and I do think you need to get a veterinarian involved that has some experience with it, or you will get hurt.
Okay, well, thank you, and good luck, and be careful. Let's go over to Ed in Woodstock. Hello, Ed. How are you?
Waiting for an answer.
All right.
I've got a cat that was bitten by a tick. I pulled him off this morning, even though he had a tick collar. How do they do with Lyme bites? Does it affect them?
My understanding is it does not. Yeah, I've never...
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yes, there is...
They seem to be immune.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is the same is true with dogs. About 90... the most recent update I saw was about 93% of dogs are naturally immune to Lyme, and then about 7% will get sick. They all will test, a lot of them will get test positive, they're just not symptomatic. And I mean, do you find that with cats, that they can test positive, there's just no symptoms associated?
We don't test for it. I know there's some reported papers that mention it as a diagnosis, and perhaps there are some, but yeah, you're absolutely right. We don't worry. I don't worry about it. I see a cat come in loaded with ticks, and it's not a fear of mine per se.
Yeah.
I've been giving him doxycycline mixed with a little fish oil. I just put it on their fur, and I don't have to force feed them. They lick it off, and they get the doxy in them, just in case it does bother them.
Is that okay, Dox?
I probably wouldn't do the doxy. The fish oil's fine, but...
What about you, Dr. Cicoli?
You're talking from a minimalistic point of view, and so, unless they're clinical, I probably would not be just putting them on the antibiotic for it.
Yeah.
One more question, quick. I got another cat that keeps licking his lower spine. He's done it for years, licks all the fur off. It started when I was on vacation. I assumed it was some kind of stress, nervousness that I wasn't there. I've given him warm medicine and everything. He still does it.
This is on his back?
Lower spine.
Yeah, lower spine. Back. Lick most of the hair off.
And how old is he?
He's got a habit. It's the habit, but I don't think he's got worms. I've given him...
I was thinking more back pain, like neuropathy pain or something
back
like
pain?
That.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, a lot of cats in their lower back, they just, as they get, is he an older cat, did you say?
He's about 10 now, but very healthy.
Yeah, that's not.
Seems very healthy. His fur is very good, and just that one area where he's licked, it's just a habit, it seems.
It can sometimes start with that. Yep, mm-hmm. I have seen some cats based on their separation from certain people that they'll develop those kind of habits. Agreed.
Well, how do you stop that with a 10-year-old cat who's been doing it for years?
As long as they're not, to be honest, some of them, as long as they're not self-mutilating themselves to a point of chewing,
seems very healthy, very happy cat.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I'll go back to the fleas. Yep. I'm a big flea component. I have seen plenty of cats that do that.
I checked them for fleas. I don't have any fleas in that area.
Yeah. All right, well,
okay,
Ed.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Ed. Good
thank
luck.
You.
800-348-2551 is the number. Kay in Kingston. Kay, you're on.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Hi.
So I have two cats that they're both 10 years old, but one of them has now, in the last couple of months, has developed asthma, and I didn't know cats could get asthma. But it's disturbing to me because he wheezes, and it's not only a cough, but it's like a wheeze, and his whole body sort of convulses. I've had him to the vet a couple of times. You know, they've given terbutaline to him. It doesn't seem to have stopped the wheezing. So I don't really know what to do, and I wonder if you have any revelations about asthma.
It's funny. Dr. Dallas and I just spoke about a mutual client of ours, that a two-year-old cat that has had asthma that we have both shared and treated with, and he's finally improving with it. And I think it involved a number of factors, one from food change to some probiotics, acupuncture, and for me it was a deworming because it's a young cat, and so I think there was a combination. So I guess I would look, I mean, it sounds like that this cat that you're describing may need stronger corticosteroids initially, and I don't want to jump in on Dr. Dallas because she may have something that would work as well, but when you're getting to that point where you're describing he's, you know, flat out and he can't breathe as well, he's in trouble.
Okay.
And so steroids might be the choice initially, and then look for other options.
I was trained with inhalant steroids. I understand the cost on those is that still very high?
Yeah.
I haven't checked recently.
How do you administer an inhalant to a cat?
Yeah, there's a mask. It's like an anesthetic mask that you put over their nose, and then you push the...
Wow.
What's it called?
The spritzer. I know what you mean. Yeah,
the inhaler, basically. Yeah, and you can do both terbutaline and steroids. I love it for the steroids because you don't get as much of a systemic effect, because you can get other side effects from
the steroids.
Yes,
exactly.
Chronic steroid use. So, you know, I always like to start with herbs. Sometimes it's nice to start with steroids to get things under control and then follow up with herbs.
Good.
That's always my...
What kind of herbs, please?
Oh, well, unfortunately, it's complicated. There isn't a specific over-the-counter herb, we use Chinese herbal formulas, and it depends on the cat and what type of body type they have and other things that are going on, but...
If I have a vet that's stuck on terbutaline, what do I do? Can I get the steroids myself?
No, those are a prescription. So you would ask...
A prescription.
Yeah, you'd have to acknowledge that you're willing to try them for a period of time, because some vets are very cautious about using prednisolone or any of the steroids.
And if you wanted the inhalant, you know, they would be able to... You know,
script
if they're willing to, they could
also.
Script that. Yeah, they could script that out for you.
All right, Kay, we have to take a break, but
thank you
very much. It's Pets and Vets today. Chris Dallas, Susan Ciculli are here, and we'll be back with more of your calls on the home stretch in a moment. It's Vox Pop, and it's Pets and Vets. Dr. Susan Zekouli and Dr. Chris Dallas with us today. I'm Ray Graff. The number is 800-348-2551. On doctors, three emails, and then back to the phones. This is from Joe. Subject heading, insatiable appetite. I have a male rescue dog for 3 years now. He's a shepherd mix, around 8 years old. The vet said he was 10 pounds overweight. He was 90 pounds when I got him. He's eating 2 cups healthy weight dry and half a can of low-fat wet food twice a day. This diet makes him want more, so he eats garbage or whatever he finds on walks. Any tips for this raccoon behavior? And that's from Joe.
Well, if the tip is just for the picking up of trash, you just have to stay 2 steps ahead of them. I mean, that's all you can do there. But I would, you know, maybe consider filling up his bowl with, you know, vegetables. Just something that's low calorie but can make him feel more full. Also make sure he's getting enough fat.
And dogs are cool eating vegetables?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They
sure.
What do they like best?
Every dog is different.
Yeah.
They don't like the leafy greens so much. They're hard to chew. But, you know, the broccoli, the green beans.
Really?
And I just tell people to get the frozen mixes as long as there's no onions in them. And just get big bags of frozen mix and toss them out and throw it in their bowl.
That's amazing. Yeah. This is from Stephen in Pine Bush. My dog has dry skin. We started putting coconut oil in his food and the scratching cleared up. Mm. Will the coconut oil hurt him?
No, definitely not. I love coconut oil. And you can switch it up with some fish oil for some good omega-3s. But no, coconut oil is great.
All right. This one's from Amy. Subject heading, scratching. Best dog name I've heard quite some time. I think this is a dog. We'll find out. Cosmic Charlie. It must be a cat. 17-pound love bug that was stray living in my shed. Since bringing him into my home 1 year ago, he has been shedding my furniture with his claws. He has no desire to go outside at all anymore. I'm beside myself on what to do. I put scratching posts in front of the furniture that he scratches, only to redirect him to another piece of furniture. So Cosmic Charlie.
Isn't that a dead song?
You bet it is.
That's what I was going to say.
Oxamoxua owl, yeah, don't right? you know? Long time ago. This one's from Amy, and a 17-pound cat. That's a good-sized cat.
It is a good-sized cat.
Well, and being in New York, we now have to find other alternatives to the scratching behavior.
Right. I totally forgot about that.
Do tell.
Decline is no longer allowed.
Well, that's not good anyway, right?
It depends.
If you have an immune-suppressed person, you may want to be able to.
There are some.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, for Cosmic Charlie's sake, what do we do?
Okay.
Go for it.
There's either one solution of you find a piece of furniture that you don't care, and that becomes the scratching post.
Right.
So he's allowed to do that, and you just tell all your guests, that's a scratching post, and he's allowed. Or you find a scratching post that's solid and big, and that's what he wants. But it sounds like he likes the vertical surfaces. He's been outside. Replicate those.
It's so funny. Cats are amazing. I mean, I think I've told you before that our cat, when she wants to go outside, she scratches the side of the couch. And I'm okay. I'm cool with this. Mm-hmm. But we got new furniture also in the same room, and I think she's a little confused because if she scratches at one of these other pieces, I yell.
Oh, and you don't let her outside.
No.
Because you don't want to encourage.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But she does let me know on the couch that it's okay to do. I don't know if that's going to work. Will it work over the long run?
Yeah.
What about essential oils?
If you're consistent.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Have you ever tried like citrus essential oils at all?
Absolutely.
Does that work?
Spray them on them discourage them. Yes, we do.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And they do have feel a scratch. I think I have mentioned that before. Oh. They came up with a new one. So it's the pheromones that's in the pads of their feet. And that supposedly you put this on the furniture or the scratching post that you want them to use.
Yeah.
And it attracts them to it.
Oh.
So that's a newer one. It's made by the same company as the Feel Away. It's called Feel a Scratch.
But theoretically, then it would get on the kitty's feet, and then the kitty would walk around the house, and it would be everywhere. Then,
no,
right?
It stays right there on the scratching post. Okay. Yeah, it doesn't get moved around.
All right, back to the phones now, and we'll hit the home stretch here. Chris Dallas, Susan Zekouli, the guests, and who has been waiting longest? Looks like Karen and Niskayuna. Karen, you're on.
Thank you. I have a 16-year-old CKD cat who seems to be doing fairly well. She's kind of relaxing, remitting with it, but she's been going through a really great stage. Other than the fact that her nighttime vocalization has gotten out of control. And I know I've tried everything from playing with her late, which is a tall order with a 16-year-old cat because they don't always want to play, to keeping her up as much as I can during the day to feel away everything. You know, I've read everything and tried everything. The only thing that I might be doing that I'm guilty of is that after a while, she's so persistent. The only way I can get sleep is if I go comfort her. And I understand I'm reinforcing the behavior, but I also understand that it could be a manifestation of her age and dementia and or the chronic kidney disease. But my question is, can you modify behavior that's manifesting because of dementia? You know, when I think about a human, dementia is dementia. Should I be ignoring her, and should I be toughing it out, in your opinion?
Great question.
Good questions, yeah.
Yep. Blood pressure would be my first thought.
Yep.
Has that been checked?
High or low?
It has not.
High blood pressure is probably the most common reason I see for that nocturne, if I can treat it. And I've ruled out everything else. High blood pressure.
And hyperthyroidism, too.
Or hyperthyroidism, thank you. I would assume you would have mentioned that because they're doing a great job with checking for the kidneys. Mm-hmm. But have them just check her blood pressure.
And if the blood
and
pressure... Go ahead.
Is there a medicine for that?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. Yes, very treatable.
One that her kidneys will tolerate?
Absolutely.
That's what I always worry about.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And if her blood pressure is normal, there is a nice product by RX Vitamins called Nutricom. And if you give it at bedtime, it may just be, I use it a lot with a lot of my cognitive disordered patients. And it's a liquid. I'm not sure how cats tolerate it. Most of my patients are canines at this point. But it does work really, really well if you give it at your bedtime.
Okay.
And that's over the counter?
I don't know. I think it actually is prescription.
I think it is a prescription.
Who cares? I'll get it one way or the other.
Right.
So disruptive.
But it is good. I can just tell you at least it does work well. It's quite effective.
Thank you, Karen. Now, that's interesting. That particular medication works fine for dogs and cats.
Yeah. Mm,
yes.
Because it's...
Well, it's just valerian root and tryptophan, and it's herbal.
Herbals, right. Mm-hmm. Herbals work for both.
Yeah.
But yet it's prescription.
I know.
It's a formulation of how they've made these. It's sort of like standard process, that's a particular...
Sounds like a money-making scheme to me. I got to be honest with you.
Or they're just trying to control it so that veterinarians prescribe.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's...
And some of them, actually, you would be contraindicated to, not that one in particular, but they do have formulas that you do want to know how to use them. You wouldn't want them just available to the public. So.
Sure.
All right, over to Michael in Shushan. Michael.
Yes, hello. I have a 10-year-old female kitty that goes inside and out and seems to be fairly healthy, but about 3 weeks ago, I noticed that her upper lip was kind of hanging up on one side, and on closer investigation, I noticed that her front fang, the big long fang in the front, was gone. One of them was broken right off, and I'm wondering if that's normal, if I should worry about it, or... What's the reason why it broke off?
That's good questions. Yes, it can happen. It is definitely worth investigating further. Those upper canine teeth, the roots are almost as long as the tooth you see, so it extends up pretty high up to the sinuses. So if it has broken off, you definitely want to go after that root that might have come off. Or if it has totally fallen off, then it leaves a opening or a socket up there, and you get what they call
a dry socket.
Dry socket. Thank you. Yeah, because I know in people that happens to them. So please investigate it for your kitty. But now, is that a hunting cat?
Yeah, she goes in and out, and she still brings home the mouse or two every once in a while.
I see that. Yep, I'm always amazed at how even without a lot of teeth, I've had a couple that cats are just.
So some poor mouse is walking around with a fang. Well, good luck, Michael. We appreciate it very much. By the way, if the cat is older, though, and you can't necessarily safely administer anesthetic, then how do you do a root canal on a cat?
Right.
That's got to be awful. Is there a way? I mean, what do you do?
Just good aggressive fluid therapy. I mean, I still think you go for it.
Oh, we do it. Yeah. We do it all the time. There are minimal cats that we say are not at an ability to have a dental procedure done.
Okay.
They have to be underlying severe kidney failure or very bad heart. Those are probably the two we don't.
All right, over to Carl in North Adams. Carl, you're up.
Yes, Carl Schmidt.
Hi, Carl. Can you turn your radio down, Carl?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, they were talking before about the dogs scratching all their hair right down raw. And we had a black lab, and a neighbor up in Reedsboro, Vermont, had another dog, and she did the same thing. But to make a long story short, my wife found out that it was the dye. In other words, if you feed them any treats or any dog food that's got green or red dye in it, just feed them the milk bones. And we did that, and it cleared up in 2 weeks.
Wow.
And my neighbor up there in Reedsboro, dog did the same thing.
Huh.
Thank you. Good information.
Maybe they should try that.
Thank you.
That's great. I don't even think about that sometimes because my clients, I'm always starting with people who are already feeding fairly clean food.
Yeah.
And so I forget.
Yeah,
this was
terrible. You wouldn't believe this is like a white dog, and her whole rear quarter was gone and raw and bleeding. And he brought it to vets. He tried all kinds of stuff.
Amazing.
And we told him to try.
Cool. That's
cutting
great.
Cutting out anything that's got dye in it. Just feed them the milk bone colors for treats or food.
Yep, that's
and
great.
It worked.
Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome.
Carl, thank you very much. And now to Domenico in Glenville. You're on.
Hello there.
Hello. Goodbye.
Oh, no.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, there you are. Okay, go ahead.
I have two cats. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Sorry, I was switching from hands-free to my car. I'm parked somewhere.
Gotcha.
I have two cats. I have an older 10-year-old orange tabby, and he's fine. He's not very high energetic, so I push his butt out the door a little bit once in a while to get him a little exercise. But the other cat I have just turned three, Leopold. He's an indoor-outdoor cat. He loves to go outside. My issue I'm just wondering with him is he seems to drink an excessive amount of water. Now, the orange tabby drinks from a bowl like most cats do. This cat only loves to go to the sink or to the bathtub and drink tons of water. Is that normal? I mean, he seems fine in every other way.
It's quirky.
Some cats like running water,
they
right?
They do. They like running water. And my hypothesis is they wait till they have running water, so they're so thirsty that they drink a ton. Because it's bins because they won't go to the standing bowl.
Maybe,
but I don't know. I mean, you could have him checked to make sure that, you know, things are functioning properly and he doesn't have some strange kidney disorder or whatever, but that is a thing. They just and you could get a watering bowl. I was going to say you could get a water bowl that gives him
fountains.
Water, like running water.
Oh, they have those.
Yeah.
Oh,
the fountain,
like a little fountain. No.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead, Domenico.
Sorry.
Okay. You know, in every other way, he seems healthy. It's just like it's amazing. He will just drink gallons of gallons. If I go to the bathroom, he wants to go to the bathtub. I give him some, and then I'll shut it off. Then go to the bathroom, the sink downstairs, he jumps up on the sink. It's like, where is all the water going?
Get him a water fountain so it's not as...
Worried.
All right.
Yeah, I was just worried, you know, if maybe he had, you know, if he had some poison, you know, some of those rat poisons people put out, you know, that's supposedly how they kill the animals, by making them thirsty. But every other way, he seems healthy. So that's all I wanted to know. You think they just save it up?
Yeah, and I guess diabetes for a young cat would be the one thing I always get more worried about because they act normal for a period of time, and then all of a sudden,
they're
in trouble.
Yeah.
But the kidney ones, like you're describing, the rat poisonings, whatever, they act sick.
They're sick,
so you're describing a totally healthy cat. And I do wonder whether how much they really drink. You know, I think they play in it, like you just described, versus, you know, can you measure that? You know, you really can't.
Yeah.
So
he's drinking it. I used to have a German Shepherd used to drink. I used to have a drinker, so a Shepherd who drank so much. My ex was a nurse, and she used to say, "Baby, he's diabetic," but he was fine. He just drank a ton.
Yeah.
So I was just curious about that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Quickly over to Lori in Port Ewan. Lori, you're on.
Hi. I have a beautiful cat. She's about 3 years old, named Gigi, and she has a weird behavior. She likes to go in my attic, which is slowly being renovated, and grab mouthfuls, clusters of pink insulation, and bring it downstairs and sort of present it.
Oh.
And to be irritating her, the only behavior I can liken it to is when she would find mice and sort of make a presentation of that. Is she trying to tell me something? Like, is she sad there's no more mice? Or what?
It's just an instinct, I think. I don't know.
Do you think there were mice up in that insulation, so she smells
there? There had been mice upstairs when we first got the house.
Huh.
Is there any way to keep her out of there?
I don't know.
Until it's done, until the renovations are done?
I could, but I hate to close it off because it's, you know, it's her favorite spot.
Because yeah. There's insulation in there.
Yeah.
That's a tough
one.
We try to close off her access to it, but she always seems to manage to get to it. So
yeah, they don't like that.
Any idea what that would be about?
I have no idea.
Is it related to hunting, or maybe, you know, she wasn't weaned as a kitten?
But she's only specifically doing it to this insulation, not other things, correct?
That's it. No, only the pink insulation.
Yeah. Now, my thought would be there were some mice, smells of mice in there, and she thinks she's bringing you a mouse. That would be
bad.
I'm slowly learning in my career not to guess why cats do
anything. That's true.
I really have stopped even trying to answer those why questions and just try to deal with how do I deal with the situation.
Yeah, give her a hug and say so. Sorry, honey.
Lori, thanks a lot. This email came in from Luke. I have a perfectly healthy 3-year-old cat. One problem is he won't drink from a water bowl or fountain. We've tried 3 different fountains, bowls, cups, plates. Only way he seems to drink water is when I crack the sink faucet. Here we go again. Any suggestions? And we've been through this.
Yep.
Well, one thing is also to make sure that they're just eating a diet that gives them plenty of water, because a normal cat eating a food full of moisture won't really drink much at all anyway.
Okay. So good point.
Raw diet, canned diet, something along those lines.
All right, let's go quickly to James in Kingston. James, you have about a minute here.
Uh-oh.
James, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, you have about a minute.
About that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just got a cat recently that was an outdoor cat. And when I got him, he had, like, tapeworms. And I seen the little rice things at the end of his, you know, thing. Took care of those. I was just curious if that could be transferable to humans.
Only if you eat a flea.
Oh, do you eat fleas,
And actually, even then, I don't think it would be. Yeah, no, even then, it would be the
every once in a while, a little salt and pepper. You know?
Hey, buddy. So you're all right there.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I don't think
not
those
at
are
all.
Transmissible,
yeah.
right?
Those not
between,
at all.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking my call. I do appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Let's spin the wheel here. We have 30 seconds. Sandra in North Adams, you have very little time. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, you only have about 15 seconds for your question here.
15 seconds, I have a lovely, sweet little cat who becomes completely terrified when I try to put her into a cat box. I mean, for a carrier.
Yeah, okay.
Take her to the vet.
What do you do?
What can I do to make it not so stressful for her? She's terrified of it.
All right.
Can you leave the carrier out all times and then start feeding her?
Yes, I can.
Feeding her in there.
Oh.
And give her
really?
Special, special treat.
Okay, yep. How long will that take? A year or two?
By the next time she's due to come in.
All right, well, guess what? We are due to end the program. This was a lot of fun. Thank you both. Support comes from Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs with a focus on academics, music, art, and movement, and a curriculum designed for creative thought, discourse, human connections, and experiential learning. WaldorfSaratoga.org to learn more. Interim Healthcare, helping people remain at home for 50 years, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. And Theta Dermatology, celebrating 25 years serving the Capital Region and surrounding areas, a medical practice specializing in dermatology and dermatologic surgery. When it comes to skin, this practice is in Theta Dermatology.com. Thanks again to Dr. Susan Sekuli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here today. Thank you for listening. Terrific calls, as always. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Ed Rosen. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis and Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the program, all the train guys are back. You like to talk about model trains? Well, who doesn't? Or maybe even real trains. Big, huge, real trains. Trains tomorrow at 2. Right now, stand by for an exciting program.